This is Yarena from Gwended, and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. I am your host, Blake. This is where we delve deep into the albums and bands that shaped metal. Please visit our website, www.themetalpit.org, and follow our website social media, which is at The Metal Pit, and that's on Facebook and Instagram. And visit our podcast website, which is www.themetalpitpodcast.com. And our social media for the podcast is at The Metal Pit Podcast, and that is also Facebook and Instagram. Today, my guests are, first, I have a fairly new addition to our website, all the way from Australia. We have Shell. How are you doing today, Shell?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Great. And it's nice to hear you finally, as we've just texted and stuff too, so I get to hear you.
Yeah, here's my 20 nasally Australian accent for you. So.
It's the best.
Well, of course, I'm in Canada, so you got my, I don't know if I have a Canadian accent. I don't think I do, but I might to you.
I think I can pick up on it a little bit.
And my second guest is Jenny Mack, who is in the good old USA. And she is also going to be joining the Metal Pit as a writer, but she hasn't done anything yet. So this is her first time, and it's both their first times in the podcast. So how are you today, Jenny?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Excited to join.
That's
and,
good.
I probably have the least attractive accent out of all of us, so you're welcome.
Oh, stop it. Lies, lies and slander.
I have an attractive accent. So since it's both your first times on the podcast, I always like to know how people get into heavy metal. So Shell, how did you get into heavy metal? Was it a group, album, relative, whatever? How did you do that?
I think I had just a bit of a turning moment. I used to listen to a lot of R&B and, you know, I was a bit in the scene and then went out to see Batman Scoop live one night, and I literally had the worst night of my life, and I always looked a bit different to everyone else. You know, I had, you know, sprayed red hair and all the girls were all blonde and, you know, all looked exactly the same. And my dad used to always say to me, Shell, you look so different to all the other girls all the time. And then, after that night, I'm just like, you know what, stuff this scene. I'm just like, I should be listening to, you know, the stuff that makes me happy. And then I started to get involved in the metal scene a little bit and went to a few gigs. And my brother is a huge metalhead as well. And he's always been a lot cooler than me. So I've always looked up to him and, aspired to be like him, I guess, in a way. And so that's another reason I started listening to metal, is to impress my brother. And he basically gave me all of my first metal albums. And my dad actually ingrained it into me at a young age as well. We always blame him for our taste in music because he is pretty dumbfounded by some of the stuff we listen to. And we always tell him, look, Dad, it's your fault. You know, you had us listening to Motley Crue, Van Halen, Black Sabbath, you know, growing up. He has all the records and everything. So he basically ingrained it into us at a young age, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. And Jenny, how about you?
Yeah, so I didn't really get into my musical autonomy till, you know, age like 13, 14, which was thankfully, and maybe unfortunately, the advent of illegal downloads. So like, kazaa, and LimeWire. So it was good in that I finally got to explore a lot of things. I wasn't the type of kid who was given enough of a leash to like, go hang out at a record store, or like a comic book store. So like, my parents are pretty, you know, not straight edge, but pretty conservative. You know, growing up, the heaviest stuff I probably heard was like, I don't know. My dad likes all the classics, like the Stones and all that shit. I think the first stuff I started to really connect with in that vein was like Zeppelin. And I do like to call them the godfathers of metal, because I do feel like they did some of the first really heavy shit that got more popular than, you know what I mean? They really, I feel like they really paved the way for a lot of people. But as I was entering high school, a friend of mine sent me two Avenged songs, Eternal Rest and Unholy Confessions. And Eternal Rest is one of my jams to this day. Like, I was just like, this guy sounds unhinged. I need to know about it. I've always been a bit, not tightly wound necessarily, but I got a lot of energy. So hearing that was like, oh, this makes me feel like something outside of me understands what's going on inside of me. So that was kind of a first little foray. Around that same time, a friend of mine sent me Fade to Black off Ride the Lightning. I see your poster back there, Blake. Mm-hmm. To this day, it remains like one of my historical favorite. It's my top favorite song. It was the first song I taught myself how to play on guitar all the way through, like the first real solo I learned on guitar. Like, that's my shit. So Metallica was huge for me. I was a budding guitarist. Like, I had to learn every one of their songs. And so as I was getting introduced to metal that way, Lamb of God, Slipknot, you know, kind of this stuff, this was the early 2000s that I started high school, as you can tell. New metal girly a little bit. But during that time, I did stumble upon Trevor. He was actually hugely influential for me. The first time I heard his voice, I said, who is this demon man? And that's what I want to do with my life. I want to do that. I want to do metal. I want to make metal music. And it was just kind of like off to the races at that point. He was like really my first like really heavy stuff that I got to listen to. That was a little bit outside of the main scope of what most people were looking at then. And again, like, I didn't necessarily get too underground till later, but who cares?
And just in case people listening that don't know who you met by Trevor, can you please tell us?
Oh, sure. Yes. So I'm talking about Trevor Sternad. He is actually a reason why Shell and I know each other. Yes. So of course we have to give him a little bit of a shout out, but as everybody who's ever listened to anything heavy knows, he was a god. So
that's yes, 100%.
But yeah. A god among men and one of the loveliest people you would ever have the fortune to meet.
Yeah, I back that 100%. And mm-hmm. I just want to touch on that, what you said, Jenny, as well. Like, Trevor was a huge influence for me as well. Like, he probably paved the way for me with my taste in metal as well. Like, yes. I think Analepsy was the first, like, seriously fucking brutal album that I really got into. And it was thanks to him recommending that album. You know, he used to do his little recommendation podcasts, and I used to listen to them religiously, and, you know, mm-hmm. Analepsy just hit a chord with me, and I'm just like, fuck, man, who are these guys? These guys are awesome, you know? And started listening to heavier and heavier music, but it just really got me going with the heavies.
That's exactly it. He was like our gateway drug.
yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And I was going to ask, I mean, I didn't mention before that you two do know each other, so you already answered that question about how you know each other, and I already knew it myself, but you've already
answered
for listeners too. And you mentioned Lamb of God. Oh, wait, I was just going to say something about Led Zeppelin. I like that you mentioned Led Zeppelin. I'm old, older, so I, of course, grew up on, you know, Led Zeppelin and AC/DC and stuff like that. But everybody always says Black Sabbath, which I also, of course, agree with. Like,
of first course,
metal band, I guess. But yes, people shouldn't forget Led Zeppelin because they were both there at the same time.
And Led Zeppelin's one of my favorite bands. So, 100% agree with Jenny with Led Zeppelin as well. Like, Led Zeppelin is right up there for me, one of my favorites of all time.
We can do one of their albums sometime.
Oh, 100%. That'd be great. Okay, yeah.
We've did Led Zeppelin 4. That's the only one we've did so far.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We got plenty then.
Awesome.
That's funny. Yeah. I was going to put that on at work today for my last shift. I was like, oh, it's Zeppelin 4 day. Yeah, I didn't get around to it, but y'all are feeling my wavelength today.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And Shell, did you want to say anything more about yourself, what you do? You want to give out your Instagram or any of that kind of stuff here?
Yeah, sure. So basically what I do is help out bands with sort of spreading the word about them, and I also feed my merch addiction with buying t-shirts and getting t-shirts off bands and publishing them on my social media. So it's a bit of a visual something or other that brings people in, and then they have a bit of a read about the band and hopefully check them out after they see my post about the band. So yeah, my handle is shell_Dahlia, and yeah, if people want to check out my page and to discover some new bands, I do a lot of underground stuff. So bands that have just got, like, you know, 300 to 400 listens so far, and they're just unbelievable. So I think it's a really good way to sort of spread the word about bands that haven't got enough coverage yet. And yeah, it's working out pretty well at the moment. People love what I do, so it makes it all worthwhile, you know, when I get the gratification from the bands. And also get a whole lot of amazing merch at the same time. So it's pretty great.
That's good. And that's kind of, that's how I found you, I guess, was just seeing you wearing metal shirts. Yeah. And now you're on the Metal Pit too, so you can kind of combine it together.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And I'll put your link, I'll put both of your links in the description or stuff too, or whatever. So, and Jenny, sure. So what about you? You want to give out your Instagram or whatever?
Sure. I was just going to gas Shell up a little bit too. Your reviews are awesome. I love reading every blurb that you put about the fans. Just gonna be a love fest. So my Instagram is 280 BPM finger blast. That's number 280 BPM finger blast. So I would love to call myself a musician. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that, but historically a guitar player. I used to be good. It's been a long time. Bass player more recently, and most recently I was fronting a grindcore band, which was so much fun. I secretly have a death metal thing in the works. We're just herding the cats right now, but I'm very excited, and I'm just looking forward to getting on stage again. But yeah, if you want to connect there, I'd love to. I love meeting more metalheads or fellow musicians, fellow artists of any kind, and I post a lot of unhinged stuff on my story, so maybe you'll get a chuckle out of it.
Also, I'd like to add that she's an absolute babe.
Right back at you. Good Lord. Babe fest.
Absolutely.
Well, you're both babes, but I didn't know or think I should say that. I don't want
you too.
Okay. So, and Jenny, you mentioned Lamb of God when you're talking about bands that got you into metal, and well, that's what we're gonna do now. Who did you pick this, or did you both pick it together? Why did you pick Ashes of the Wake by Lamb of God to talk about?
I will be totally honest with you, I pulled one of my favorite shirts out of my closet, lo and behold, it's Ashes of the Wake, and I was like, my brain exploded. Why did I not pick this one? Because initially I tried a couple others on, but this was the one. Yeah, Shell immediately was like, yes, that's it. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. As soon as Jenny mentioned, I'm like, hell yeah, that's the one. That's the
and
one.
It just so happens to be turning 20 this year, which is crazy.
Nice. That is crazy. It makes me feel so old.
Yeah, it hurts.
Grandma Shelly over here. Oh, I love
Grandma Shelly. Just us in the home, like,
you know, with our walking frames, let's go.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. So I was inspired by my shirt pick the other day, but also just when I thought on it, even for a second, that album was just so hugely influential on my music taste. It had the technicality and the chops, it had friggin' Randy Blythe, which was like, he was a big thing for me. Somebody recently said that on the EP we put out this year as Wasp Mother, rest in peace, that I sounded like Randy in one of the moments, and my heart exploded. But anyway, it's just like a combination of every type of music and every band that I loved that was moving me towards heavier music, and this was really what set me on the path, was this album in particular. Yeah, it had a little bit, it's post-thrash, it's groove metal, whatever, but it's still got thrash and hardcore influence. It's got some melodic death, like it's got a little bit of something for everybody. That technical mathy stuff with the time signatures, like that, it's got everything. So I had to.
Now, would this be the, if you remember, would this be the first Lamb of God album you heard, or would you have heard the two before? I think this is the third one, right? I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Do you remember that? It doesn't matter if you don't remember.
I am pretty sure I had listened to As the Palaces Burn. I feel like I might have come across the two around the same time. And I adore As the Palaces Burn too, just like balls to the wall, feral, intense, and Sacrament after Ashes of the Wake is just like it takes everything Ashes of the Wake did and just kind of turns it up to 11. You know what I mean? But
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
yeah,
And Shell, do you
yeah.
remember which Lamb of God album you might have heard first, or songs?
Yeah, this Ashes of the Wake was definitely my first Lamb of God album. I thrashed the hell out of it when I first heard it. I was like, holy shit, what is this, man? I was like, yeah, I was all about it. Could not stop playing it. It was great.
I can't remember it all really myself. Ask you the question, and I can't answer it myself. But I know I got a friend, Jen, on Inst not you, Jen, but another Jen, on Instagram, and her husband Mike really like Lamb of God. So I'm wondering if she kind of mentioned it to me. I can't remember, so she could have influenced. But I know she's going to be listening to this because she loves Black Dahlia Murder. Also, both of them love Black Dahlia Murder. Also, so they both love Trevor too, as a fan, of course.
How can you not?
And I know they like Lamb of God, so I know she's going to be listening, so she better be listening, and she better tell me that she heard me say hello to her. Okay, so Lamb of God, where do I go? I got a little bio on the band in case anybody doesn't know. So they are originally known as Burn the Priest, which I actually didn't know that till today
You
when
didn't. You should
I
check them out.
well, I know Burn the Priest, but I thought it was just a name that came up after that they made a covers album for. I didn't realize that's what they were called first place. So I do have the, I don't know, is there only one Burn the Priest album, isn't there? I think I know they did a cover of Ministry's Jesus Built My Hot Rod, which I loves.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they were formed in Richmond, Virginia, back in 1994. Hopefully all my information here is correct. You can correct me because you might know more. But they, of course, have been at the forefront of modern metal, and the mix of groove, thrash, and death, which you probably already mentioned. And of course, we got, well, which Randy Blythe, which was already mentioned, Mark Morton and Willie Adler on guitars, John Campbell on bass, and Chris Adler on drums. Now, that's probably the current. I don't know if that's the same lineup they've always had. Do you know that?
I think
Anybody?
Chris is gone. Chris Adler left.
Yes.
They got a new drummer.
Okay. And let's see, let's skip to this. Ashes of the Wake, the one we're going to talk about, the third studio album released August 31st. So it is 20 years old now. It's 20 years and a month old.
Yikes.
And
Wowie.
this is a politically charged record that takes on the chaos of, the Iraq War, corruption, disillusionment of the American people. I guess Jenny can talk about that. And it was recorded in Hoboken, New Jersey. And I only say that because I wanted to say the word Hoboken. And let's see. And the producer was, I guess he's just a one person named producer called Machine. Sorry. And he also worked with them on As the Palaces Burn. Okay, I don't need it. So we're going to get talking about the album. So I'm going to ask you each, I probably won't say a lot. I like this album. I like Lamb of God. I've seen them a few times, but I think they were always openers for somebody else. So I've never seen them headline.
Oh, missing out.
But so I'm going to ask each of you to tell me what you think of the song. You can talk about whatever you want. I already told you. And then I'll add anything if I have to, but I probably won't have to because I want you girls to do most of the talking. Okay, so we're going to start with the first track, of course, which is Laid to Rest, and I'll let Jenny go first.
Okay, so one of the things that I think drew me to Lamb of God initially is showcased in this song because the intro sounds like a Pantera song that I still want to listen to now. You know what I mean? Because recently I've gone back and tried. Sorry, can't really do it. Like not talking about Dime, but like with Phil Anselmo, sometimes I'm like, I can't stand you. But here in the year of our Lord Satan 2024, Laid to Rest intro actually sounds like a Pantera song I want to listen to. And I just like the way he spit the intensity. It's a nice way to kick off the album. Like the "See You" gives a fuck. Like he really spits at you. Like, all right, bam. That riff too, when he comes in with that, is everything I want from Lamb of God. So like this song alone, starting off this album, just sang to my heart personally. And Shell, I want you to start as well, but I would also love to hear from both of you as we talk, from different perspectives, like Canada and Australia. Like this, you know, was hugely, the music around this time, especially metal and this album, was hugely influenced. Obviously, you said the Iraq War and 9/11, like it was only a couple of years after 9/11. Like, so I would love to hear how y'all feel about that context as people who were out of the country. But anyway, sorry, Shell, I didn't mean to take all that up, but.
That's okay. Nah, you're right.
So Shell?
Yep. So yeah, for me, obviously when I was just a young tacker, I didn't really look too much into the lyrics of the whole thing. But yeah, it is a very interesting storytelling from start to end, this album. And Lay to Rest, obviously when I was younger, not knowing, you know, what the album was too much about, because I guess in Australia we don't get too immersed in that sort of war sort of we don't have an experience enough to sort of really know what it's all about. I mean, we had troops overseas, but I mean, you know, it's not really present in our society, you know, that sort of war mentality. And so for me, I guess, yeah, I was more focused on the music. And I agree with Jenny with the riffs, that they just pull you straight in with this one, with Lay to Rest. And I think the harmonics just get me. I love a good harmonic. So,
yum.
Yeah, they're just yum, 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 yummy, yum. So, and yeah, just makes you want to get into a circle pit and just lose your shit. But, you know, I guess war makes everyone unsettled. And I think this album, it just gives you a really good chance to just blow off some steam about all society's problems, really. So, yeah.
Well, for me, okay, I'm in Canada and we only go to war if the United States drags us there.
Sorry.
But for, I've said, okay, see, I don't think, like, I think I heard, like, I'm trying to still remember when I first heard Lamb of God. It was probably the song Redneck, probably on the next album or the video, probably. So I probably had to go back to listen to these other things, and it probably took me a while to really get into it. And it wasn't back in those years. It was, I don't know, like probably in maybe in the 2010 area when I maybe first discovered them, just because there's so much stuff going on. But anyways, and I've said this on the podcast before to people, that I don't care what the lyrics, as long as I like the music. And so I'm not going to, and I'm not an American, so it's, if there's any political stuff in here, I'm not going to have to choose sides or anything like that. And I'm not going to be bothered if he's saying, don't go to war, go to war, or whatever. I don't really have any thoughts on that. And so, I mean, you hear the lyrics, you can understand what he's saying, but unlike death metal sometimes, where you maybe can't understand what they're saying. But so you can understand what he's saying, especially when he's saying, see who gives a fuck, just like you said, and stuff like, and his fuck is really, you can really understand what he's saying when he says fuck. Sorry, we're not, I said we're not supposed to swear every other word, and here I am doing it. Anyway, but yeah, to me, the lyrics don't really matter as long as the music's good. And of course, this is, and the riffs and stuff. Like, I don't care what they're saying. They could be saying, I'm petting little kittens. Who gives a fuck if I'm doing that? I don't care.
Just saying, you know, it.
So,
a
little
guy
so,
with a kitten is the cutest thing in the world. Agreed?
Agreed.
When Trevor held a kitten, I was like, oh my God, it's so adorable.
I died. Pictures of him holding our kitten, and I still cry looking
so
at him. Oh,
so
brutal. Just perfect,
like,
little black
brutal
cat.
Brutal man, yeah, with a cute little kitten. It's like the ultimate juxtaposition. I love it.
It's perfect. And, you know, you knew him in real life. He was really just the biggest sweetie. I'm sure he would be pissed at me for letting people know that. But yeah, he had the biggest damn heart. But yeah, him with a kitten. Ugh.
Yeah.
I have a cat. She was here, but now she's gone.
Give me a kitty.
Well, I can't show you. Okay,
yeah,
next
I've
we
got
got
two cats. So, yeah,
next
big
we
cat head.
got Hourglass, and I'll let Shell go first this time on Hourglass.
Yeah, I think Hourglass, just the double kick in it just really fires you up. And then the riff, just again, I love Lamb of God riffs. They just get you going, you know, and just packed with power and just, yeah, another mosh song. And I'm a massive fan of Chris Adler as a drummer. I just love his work, his use of cymbals in all of the Lamb of God songs. And he just times these double kicks perfectly in each song. And yeah, this one especially is just really effective.
And Jen, me, sorry.
Yes, no, you're good. I'll go by either. I don't care. Just call me asshole, but don't call me late for dinner. Yeah, Shell, I agree with you. I mean, I think part of what makes this album in particular kick you in the teeth so hard is just straight up Chris Adler. He's so tight.
Yes.
He's so perfect and pure. Every track, every note, every hit.
I understand.
And the production value obviously got cranked up after As the Palaces Burn, coming into Ashes of the Wake. And I think that really makes those drums shine just like brilliantly.
Yeah.
And the riffs, I feel you. I made a note, the 220 dueling guitars, ugh, was what I wrote. Get that little bit of melodic death, get a little, you know, maiden worship, if you will, in my opinion. Yeah. I also thought it's interesting that by track two, we have like two or three spoken word breaks already. And I get what it's going for with the whole kind of soldier war storytelling kind of thing. I don't know. I do think by the end of the album, I'm like, stop, I want to hear you scream, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, so this is when I really start thinking like, and as when I was younger, I didn't give a shit about the lyrics either. You know what I mean? I'm just like, his breath, his drums, his screams.
yeah.
But I definitely wanted to revisit sort of that context of the war, and we're straight back into the conflict in the Middle East. You know what I mean? Thanks, America. so it really is, I think, an interesting retrospective kind of review to do right now. Yeah. And the people are definitely 100%. Still this pissed. Like,
yeah,
none of us want to be doing this.
I don't. Yeah, don't even think humanity will ever change, though. You know, I hope. You know, be love the thought of living on fucking farts and unicorns, but it's just not gonna happen ever. So.
Oh, if only. But you're exactly right, and I think looking at this album, that's 20 years old this year. Things don't change. People don't change. Look at the. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
Like. We're right back
yeah,
in it.
Right.
And the
exactly
human,
right.
You know, history of the human community shows these cycles of what, 50 year cycles or so of violence. Like, think about the last time it was this kind of globally violent, or at least, you know, America is mostly the violent entity here. Anyway, yeah, it just kind of thinking about all that stuff makes me want to listen to this even more to just like get it out.
Yeah.
Makes me stress.
Yeah, it's definitely a time. At the moment to probably, yeah, really get involved in an album like this because, yeah, it's real. It's on our doorstep. It's all happening, isn't it? So,
yeah. I'm waiting for the new System of a Down album. Where is that coming from? Because it's time.
Yeah. yeah, true. Absolutely. Yeah, there's enough inspiration there, guys. So.
Yeah, I'm saying we need you.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Well, the singer whose name... I forget the second.
Dirge.
Yes, he has an EP out. Now, I don't think I've listened to it yet, but he's got an EP out, but I don't know any information about if it's new songs.
Is that a solo EP? Or?
Yeah, it's just under his name, so I don't know anything.
Yeah, his voice is just next level.
About, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I did a System of a Down vocal cover early 2022, and I think I did it two octaves up. It was Ariel's, but boy oh boy, it doesn't matter what octave it is, he is just incredible. It was way harder than I expected.
He's a beast.
Oh, he's amazing.
I want to hear you do it. I want you to do a cover of Cigarro for, is that how you say it?
Oh, that'd be a blast. My friend and I have been screaming that at each other for 20 years. So yeah, done.
Okay, you do that.
Shout out to Liz. She won't hear this, but I love you.
Well, you can tell her to listen.
Okay. She will. She also studied abroad in Australia. So another reason to get her too. Anyway.
I find, Canada does, of course, is smaller compared to the United States. So there's not as many bands. But I find they don't really sing about politics as much as American bands, probably because in Canada, all we get is the American news stories about whatever Trump right now and stuff.
But,
you know, when Ministry had all those albums, it was always about George Bush or whatever. And
yep.
It just doesn't seem like, you know, Canada's not that much because, you know, if it's about politics, we hear about what's going on in the United States more than what's going on here sometimes. So, anyway, okay, now we go to track three. Now You've Got Something to Die For, Jen.
This song still makes me want to put my head through the fucking wall. Oh, every time. And so we're talking about the American War Machine, and one of the notes I made was these two tracks back to back is all about the American War Machine, the U.S. continually getting itself involved in conflicts around the world that we have no business being involved in just to line our pockets because the U.S. makes the most money when we're at war. The news isn't telling you that, but it's true. We're assholes. So, shit, now you got something to die for. It's money. George Bush did 9-1-1. Okay, this song is a masterclass on groove metal. And I think that we could say that maybe Pantera was kind of like the Sepultura, like those were the precursors to our big groove metal, I think. I think this track and this album really could be like a poster child for groove metal because it's everything I want out of it. The grooves are griffy, the bass is tight, grooves are riffy, the bass is tight and burpy, the drums are insane, and the vocals do what I needed to hear from heavy songs. Like I was saying earlier, that Pantera style of vocal just wasn't cutting it for me. Some of the other heavy bands that were around, like even Meshuggah. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about them in this retrospective review, but like they have some of those really great, tight, technical, tempo changey things, but he's got that, we call it spaz vocals in the grind community, that, which is cool. And lends itself to certain styles, but not really my favorite thing. So Lamb of God took all of the things that I wanted personally for groove metal and put them together. And I think this song really just shows that shit off. I'm sorry I waffled too much, Shell.
No, you're all right. I'm really interested in what you have to say because, like, obviously I'm not a musician, so it's just a real big learning curve for me just, like, listening to your opinion on the songs, because obviously you know a lot more about the music side of things, and I'm just here like a potato just listening to the songs, like I like this riff. like I don't know the ins and outs of the technicalities of the side of things, so like it's really interesting for me to listen to, you honestly, so waffle away, it's fine.
And Shell, did you want to add anything about the song?
Yeah, so bit of a layman's, I guess, opinion on the song. It's just, for me, it just obviously, again, like Jenny said, it's just punchy. It makes you want to mosh. It just makes you want to get out, you know, all that pent-up aggression and, you know, just blow off some steam about anything, you know, to do with politics and things like that. And I feel like it does progress, like the album progresses in a way where you sort of feel like you're heading into war, and then this sort of makes you feel like you're marching into the front line. I guess the line in the song with blood to feed the Dollar Tree really sort of summed up what this song is about, you know. Jenny hit the nail on the head there. It's all about war is money, you know, so yeah.
I love what you said about the album, sort of the storytelling of the track list, feeling like you're kind of going into battle and part of the battle. And I totally agree and didn't even think that till you said it. So I really appreciate that because it's helping provide context for how I felt about like you know, the first half versus the second half of the album, and how I feel like the second half gets like twice as heavy.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's continue. Sorry. <Yes. laughs>
And that one is probably one of the more recognizable or well-known, I guess you would say, songs off this album.
Right.
Okay, then we go to The Faded Line, Jenny.
And my dog is...
Sorry, Shell.
Mixed okay, up. Good. Yeah, Shell, I'm going to mute because my dog is yelling.
That's okay.
Yeah, so The Faded Line, definitely, in my opinion, a crowd favorite. And this, for me, is definitely my favorite song off the album. I just think Chris Adler's use of the cymbals in this song is just phenomenal. It just captivates you. You just can drift away on the echoes of those cymbals. And I just love the breakdown in it as well. And it just gives you a extremely apocalyptic feeling, this song, I feel. Like you are in the thick of battle, and it just feels like, you know, at the end of this war, the world could become an apocalyptic wasteland. Yeah, that's generally how this song makes me feel. And it's just, obviously, there's a reason why it's a crowd favorite. Just the riffs and everything about it, I just think is perfect. And it just gets you going.
And Jenny?
Yeah, so I... feel the same way about what you're saying about Chris Adler again, Shell. I feel like we're starting to get to that frantic feeling of being in the midst of a battle or any sort of very chaotic, terrifying situation. It's putting you right there in it, in the best way, in the way that we want it to, in a metal song, obviously. If you don't hear Meshuggah in a lot of these songs, then you might be deaf. With the time signatures and sort of the progressive feels of some of the things. I think you really hear that in this one in particular as well. And I made a note about one of the lyrics, familiar touch, a ritual to numb the cut. And that one just spoke so loud to me going into another stupid US election season, because it feels like the farce of democracy and voting in the US, because it's all a lie. We'll get into that another time. But yeah, boy, just feels like Groundhog Day, reliving the same terrible year over and over in this goddamn place.
Okay. I don't need to add anything. Okay, then we go to, okay, I'm not sure if I'm saying this. Omerta, am I saying that right?
I think you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Jenny, what do you think of Omerta?
So, this was probably the first Lamb of God song that really got under my skin. Like, this one made me want to headbutt a rhino. Like, just full Looney Tunes run into a wall. Like, I don't care. And it's funny because his spoken word intro, like, I've seen people kind of complain about it and be like, oh, it was a little bit, you know, flat for that. But I thought it worked perfectly for this song at the time. Like, in retrospect, maybe now at whatever, 30 something years old, I might look back and be like, oh, well, maybe I would have liked this factor. But no, that's not what it was about. Like, this album was clean and simple outside of, you know, the complications of the musicality and the writing, but just like, you know, kind of cut and dry, but in a good way. And as I said a little earlier, I didn't really realize how many spoken word breaks there are on this album. There are a lot. I think that would be one little complaint I have now, 20 years later, about it. I'm always going to fuck with the messaging. So, like, no complaints. That's just kind of a teeny little, you know, I'm being a little bit of a connoisseur. But yeah, give me a slow, grinding, brutal riff like this, and I am a happy, happy gal. Anything to mosh, elbow somebody in the nose to, set something on fire. You know what I mean? And it's funny because you actually hear a little bit of the hardcore in this. Like, I think you get a little bit of that Hatebreed kind of feel, just really straightforward aggression.
And Shell, sorry.
Yes. So for me, I think this song just give the album some balance, because like it does slow things down a little bit at the start. And I think it just gives you a bit of a breather after taking in those first three tracks, first four tracks, where it's just absolute chaos. And they kind of slow it down a bit just to, I guess, for you to just process it all, and just only for a slight moment, and then it picks up at the end again. So I think by doing that, it just makes the song just that much more intense by just having that slow start off. And again, Chris Adler just shining like the diamond he is in this song. I just lap up everything he does. Great song.
And then we shift to, now, does this even get a little bit faster? Is that possible? Anyway, Blood of the Scribe, Shell.
The line in this song, "Rest comes easy to those with no guilt," really resonated with me. It was just, it's pretty hard hitting, you know. It's just, and you know, my heart goes out to war veterans that, you know, suffer from PTSD and things like that because of what they've had to face and go through to protect their countries. And I think, it's a really heavy hitting line for me, even though, you know, as I said, we're not involved in war as much as other countries, but we do get to see what goes on and hear about it. And it is devastating. And it's not only devastating for civilians and people that die, but also devastating for the soldiers that are involved in war. And I think this song really shines the light on that.
And Jenny, sorry.
You got it. You can just go, "Hey, you." It's fine. No, Shell, I agree with you on all that stuff, just kind of, especially with the way I've been speaking about the U.S. and how it enters conflicts. I don't mean that to disparage the people who end up having to fight it. It is not their fault. So let me just be clear with that. It's certainly not their fault. Anyway, so with my ADD, I think when I was young, this would be where my attention span would start to drop off a little bit. And that's nothing to do with the track. I think it's because I was so high on Omerta that I didn't really know what to do next. Maybe I still was just processing. Like, it definitely feels like we're going from Omerta's, like, maybe getting in the zone in battle. You know what I mean? Like, your mind's kind of clear for a second. And then right again, we're back to brutal onslaught, boom, barrage right in your face. For me, you even hear a little bit of, like, Trivium vibes. I know they were making music around the same time, so there were a couple of like little guitar riffs. I was like, okay, I see you, Heafy. And we get a little bit more Metallica in this one too. Maybe a little bit of Master of Puppets with some of the, you know, changes of tempo and stuff like that. But yeah. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, so the next one, Break You, I'm interested to see, Jenny, what you want to run your head into when you listen to this song.
What about One Gun?
I missed one. Yeah, One Gun. Do One Gun. Sorry, I scrolled too fast.
This song has the best scream on the album. I don't care. Don't at me. Unbelievable. Oh my God. Just. What is it, a 15 second scream? But this, I feel like this is really, there are a lot of moments on the album where I'm obsessed with Randy's vocals. I have been since day one, so 20 years now. There were some moments listening back to this album 20 years later where I do feel like they were hitting one dimensional a little, which I do not feel is the case after this album. But getting back to One Gun, I was like, I take back that thought. I take back what I was saying, because this, I really feel like, is where he starts to flex a little bit more and show off a little bit. We actually see some solos, which is wild because Lamb of God shies away from that outside of the title track we'll talk about later. But yeah, now 20 years later, I would argue that this is the best song on the album, which may be a lot. And I would like to hear what Shell has to say about that when she's ready. But I love what they do with the time signatures. There's a very poignant rest where everybody goes silent for a beat right after the a noose for your neck or a noose around your neck. And it's just boom. And you really feel that kind of like moment of death in that. I feel like it's really impactful and effective. Randy gets the really low, almost gutturals in this, which makes me really excited. He's got a classic, which made me really happy as well. And yeah, again, I just feel like that's where he's starting to like flex his range a little bit as a vocalist for the first time in the album for me.
And Shell?
Yeah, so this song, I feel like their use is like the wailing guitars sort of give like a bit of, again, a bit of that apocalyptic feel. Like it sounds like a siren, it sounds like a siren's going off and it's like, you know, it's the end of the world sort of thing. So it, I think that's really effective how they've done that in this song. And yeah, as Jenny said, the solo, it just really gets me going because it's just, I love a good guitar solo. It's what I'm all about, especially in like the old 80s bands and stuff. I just froth it. It's awesome. So yeah, when I hear the solo in this song, it excites me. It gets me really excited. So yeah, Willie did a really good job on that one.
And now we go to Break You. And Shell, what do you think of Break You?
Yeah, it's a pretty hard hitting song again. It's full of aggression, you know, obviously the lyrics say it all, break you. It's just, it does, it breaks you, it breaks you down, and it makes you want to break things, so.
And Jenny, what do you want to break when you listen to this one?
Have either of you ever played Mortal Kombat?
I have not. Yeah.
Shell's gonna know what I'm talking about then. So this makes me want to rip out somebody's spine through their mouth.
Fatality.
Fatality. Exactly. I knew that you would get it. So this is another, I got really excited again because Randy hits us with some unhinged, like almost black metal-y, like very like, again, unhinged chaotic screaming, which I don't recall really paying attention to I don't recall hearing him do that up to that point. So that was really exciting for me as obviously somebody who's pretty hyper fixated on vocals. I think this was another track where we get some hardcore influence, which I really love. Some of the breakdowns and things like that. We got the nice frantic riffage. So that just aggression we've been hearing through the whole album. I can hear a little bit of All Shall Perish in here, taking some influence from Lamb of God on their stuff. I think I'm talking about their album that came out in like 05. So I feel like they definitely bit some of this song. But yeah, these last two songs for me were like vocal chops, Randy, let's go, paving the way for the Sacrament album.
This just reminded me of something. Not the song or not what you were saying, but I have a cousin on the East Coast of Canada and she has a son that has autism. And back, I don't know what it was, 10 years ago, me and my family went to visit them and then he discovered heavy metal from me coming to visit them or whatever. And then I remember asking my cousin, the mom, does your son listen to Lamb of God? And she said, oh, I wouldn't let him listen to a band called Lamb of God. I went, oh, okay. But now he listens to Lamb.
Very nice.
We won.
So she did. Okay, now we've got to What I've Become. And Jenny.
So I didn't have a lot to say about this because I was too busy headbanging, but the vocal range again was killing me. It reminded me a lot of, guess who? Trevor Sternad, who had 7 different demon voices. So this was where I really felt some of that kind of he would hate if I said there was cross influence there, but the music scene always influences itself cross genre. I don't give a fuck. You're wrong if you disagree. So I would say I definitely hear some of that, you know, combination of the melodic death, the little bit of, the little tinge of black, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And Shell, what do you think of this song?
Yeah, 100% agree with Jenny. The vocals just absolutely displaying his range in this song. Randy just, yeah, he gives it his all, and he really showcases what he can do in this song. 100% agree with that. And feel like the end of this song as well, it sort of gives like that sort of military marching feel as well, just with the double kicks. And it's just kind of gives you that rhythm where you feel you can envision just soldiers marching. So real sort of a visual song for me, this one.
And I, in my notes, I just had about that there's a haunting feel throughout this track, which might be the,
yes,
how you, yeah, said about black agree with metal that kind of thing creeping, yeah, in. Then we go to the title. Actually, when I was listening to the, even, I mean, I've listened to this album many years, but listening to, was it track two, where they keep, that he was saying Ashes of the Wake in the lyrics, and I thought, well, this must be Ashes of the Wake, and then I go, oh, it's not. So this Very is believing. Ashes of the Wake. Well, this is,
I like how they track, did that so too. That was another cool thing. Sorry, I know Shell, you're up, but I just thought that was another cool thing that people do, you know, when they kind of tease the album title in another song and kind of threads the whole thing together.
And this has some solos, which you mentioned earlier too. So Shell, what do you think of this song?
The title. It's just, I love this song. It really showcases what the instrumental side of things can do, because it is a very instrumental heavy song. Mm-hmm. Complex breakdown, guitar solo, just, it's really focuses on the instrumental side and the instrumental talent of Lamb of God in this song. So it's a remarkable song. Just as Jenny said as well, it just really ties everything together, using the name of the album as well. Just sort of really, ties the whole thing together.
And Jenny?
Yeah, it's in the spirit of tying everything together. It feels like the opus of this album. It feels like the crowning work. I do feel like we had a build, we had a frantic run up to the back half and the end of this album. I really feel like it gets heavier and heavier. And obviously that is not lost on this track. I love Slayer worship. I'm not sorry. There's definitely some raining blood in here. Pays great homage to Slayer without sounding like a gimmick. Like, it still sounds like Lamb of God, but it's got every little Slayer influence I want out of my Lamb of God. Solos galore. It really is like, this is their masturbatory track, but in the best way. And I'm okay with that, because this is what I want to hear. We've heard them building up that musicality and that technicality through the entire album. And now they're just like, we're putting our dick on the table here. Here's all of it. I don't know. I think it's a great culmination. And as we said, it's a great title track and way to bring it all together.
Now I have notes that there's guests on the song. Do you know that?
On what, Ashes of the Wake?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to check Wikipedia to make sure my other thing was right. So can you keep talking for a second?
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm just letting you guys know that not everything kills you in Australia. I think that's a myth that is circulating around the world. What and like Canada has bears. Like, what the hell, man?
We have beer or bears? Beer and bears.
Bears. Bears. You got bears, all right? Bloody hell.
Here we go. The title track of the album. Yeah, okay, here it is. Yes, features Testament guitarist Alex Skolnick and ex-Megadeth guitarist Chris Poland. So some of those songs must be them. And I didn't realize that till now.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize that till now either. So thank you for that.
Well, that's really cool. Cause if we didn't realize they were guests, then it still went enough with the writing and the album and the whole feel that even having guests, it's like, oh, that's something different, but it still sounds like Lamb of God. So like, I don't know. That was a cool surprise. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, because see, since I'm older, when I started out listening to music, of course, you would have the vinyls and the records, and you would look at them, and it would probably said that, you know, on the back of the record. But once you got into CDs, where the writing's really smaller,
magnifying glass to read it,
unless it's saying that, you're not going to notice the stuff until you look on Wikipedia for podcast.
Yeah, or you download a track that you think is the actual song, and the back half of it is a remix of a Linkin Park song, and that was that was the days of Kazaa.
Okay, then we get to the last song, Remorse is for the Dead. Whose turn is it? Jenny, I think.
Yeah, it was mine. I didn't have a ton of notes for this one because it's heavy. Like, I would say it's the heaviest track on the album. Mean, mean, mean. Like, Randy just sounds so mean. The only word I could think listening to this was mean, and just like, album's done, let's run off the cliff. I'm down. Like, everything's done. Let's go. I'm diving headfirst to the bottom. Yeah, I just really think they blew it out of the water in the back half of this album. It's pretty incredible.
And Shell, what do you think of the last track?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I didn't really have a whole lot of stuff to write down about this song either, because it basically does just speak for itself. I think it's a good song of reflection as well. Sort of reflect on the whole genre of the album, the genre itself, war, battle, death, sacrifice, human sacrifice. It's just heavy, but also sort of sparks a bit of reflection for me as well with the lyrics and the music. Reflect on the whole album as well, musically, in this song. And it's a great way to really end the CD.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I really like that you said that about the reflection, and the way that you sort of listed all those things and how it sounds like you can kind of, by the end of this album, you can think about all of this war within and war without, you know what I mean? So it can be more relatable to folks who thankfully haven't had to live in a country, you know, that's been ravaged by war, those poor people that we always, you know, screw over. But I think you take that moment to reflect, and you can really see how this speaks to your life in personal ways, and your personal struggles and emotional and, you know, mental health struggles and things like that.
Yes.
Okay. Now, since you're writers or going to be writers on the Metal Pit, we always rate the album out of 10. So you have to do that. So Jenny, what would you give this album out of 10? It's okay to say 10. I know.
I want to say 10 because this album was so huge. It was huge for Lamb of God. It was huge for Richmond, Virginia, if you ask me. It was huge for this genre of groove metal, post thrash, whatever you want to call kind of this era. It really was a hugely political time in American music. And I just feel like these guys were really front runners of that in a really poignant way. And this album was perfection from that point of view.
And Shell, what would you give it out of 10?
Well, my teenage self would have given it a 10 just because of its, like, the music side of things, and how much it influenced me as a teenager, and how much fun I had to this album, just rocking out and mosh pits. And, you know, I've seen Lamb of God live probably about 7 or 8 times. They went through a period where they just kept coming to Australia and touring almost every year. So I was lucky enough to attend all of those shows, and they just absolutely crushed it. And obviously back then, this album was extremely present in their live performances. So this album just, means a lot to me. And so just based on that, I'd give it a 10. But, you know, delving into the lyrics, as an adult, it even backs that 10 even further for me, because it is extremely well put together and thoughtful. So yeah, 10 out of 10.
I guess I'll give it a 10 out of 10 too, because I don't want to be I don't want to be going out.
We'll find you.
We will flay you.
Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. Okay. You mentioned it kind of briefly there, but is there any special live times that you've seen them live that you want to talk about, or how many times have you seen them live, both of you? Shell, you want to go first or expand?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so pretty much every time I've seen them live is special, because to me they're absolutely flawless live. I've never seen them and they've been average. Every time I've seen them, they've been flawless, they're professional, they're outstanding. So I couldn't fault them live, and I love the Wall of Death. They do it usually every time they play Black Label, and everyone will do a Wall of Death. And my favorite moment was at a festival called Soundwave. They played and they did the Wall of Death there, and it was the biggest Wall of Death I've ever been involved in, and it was just the time of my life. I feared for my life. I had the time of my life, and it was just something I will never forget. And yeah, they're just a phenomenal band to see live.
And Jenny?
I can't remember how many times I've seen them live, because like Shell, I try to see them every time I can. I've seen them, I think the first time I saw them was opening for Metallica, and Gojira, I believe, was on that bill as well, which was sick. And seeing them the first time made me like them even more, because they were so tight live. I have also seen them headline and all that stuff. They are so tight, so perfect, so technical. One of my favorite moments seeing them was they were playing at Xfinity Center, Mansfield. It was not that at the time in Massachusetts here. And I'm in the parking lot. Everybody's pre-gaming, tailgating, whatever. I'm so psyched to get in there, but I have no concept of time. So I don't know when the set's starting. I hear Walk With Me in Hell start up. They opened with Walk With Me in Hell. Oh my God. I hear it from the parking lot. I sprint the entire way in. I make it before the vocals start. That song, I have said, will always be my at-bat song. If I could have a song play every time I entered a room, it would be the opening riff from Walk With Me in Hell. That song is so sick.
Oh, sorry.
So yeah, that was one of my favorites, was sprinting from the parking lot and making it just in time to see my favorite goddamn song. And they opened with it, which I thought was really cool.
I've seen them a few times, but I don't think I've ever seen them headline. I saw them with Slipknot once. I saw them on the Slayer's farewell tour, even though I guess Slayer's come back, so whatever. But yeah, I've seen them a few times, but it's always just been an opening for somebody else. But I will get my friend I mentioned before, Jen, they just seen them last in August, and they played this album, Ashes of the Wake. They played the whole album because of the 20-year anniversary thing. And when I told her we were doing this on the podcast, she said 10 out of 10. Now, I don't know if she meant the album 10 out of 10 or if she was excited that we're going to do the podcast. Anyway, okay. So I guess that's enough. Okay, now we're going to do a top 10. And now, of course, I let Jenny decide this, so she made it harder than it usually is. So she wanted to do the top 10 from the years 2004 to 2007. Do you want to say why you wanted that?
Yes. So those were my high school years. And that was very definitive, obviously, for me with having an autonomous music taste and more specifically getting into metal. So I thought it would be fun to go back to that time, the time within the context of the release of this album, and think about what we were listening to and what we loved from then.
Okay. Now, so all three of us, I hope, have a top 10 list. I'm going to go first because mine, I don't know, I'm more interested in hearing what you guys say. I know my first one, Jenny's going to hate me after this. She'll probably unfriend me when she hears my first one of these years, but I'll start at number 10. So I'm starting at 10. Okay, 10, I got Exodus, Tempo of the Damned. Number 9, now I didn't get the chance to re-listen to some of these to maybe rank them better. But I have two System of a Down albums on here. Number 9, I have Hypnotize album. And then number eight, I got Trouble, Simple Mind Condition, doom metal group. They're one of my favorite groups. Seven, I got Rammstein with, do I say Rise, Rise? I think. I don't read German. But anyway, that one's my number seven. Number six, I put, even though I gave this a 10 out of 10, I but I was kind of having peer pressure there. But Ashes of the Wake is my number six album of those 4 years. Five, I got another System of a Down, Mesmerize. Number four, which Jenny probably won't like this either. I'm not really sure. But I got Dream Theater with Octavarium.
No, that was a big one for me too, actually, as a guitar player. Okay. Yeah, John Petrucci's Damage Control was like my odyssey. Yeah.
Well, you told me you hated power metal. I know Dream Theater's not power metal, but I thought
maybe. Yeah, they don't count to me.
Okay. Number three, I got Arch Enemy with Doomsday Machine, as I love Arch Enemy. And they did have another, the Chaos Legions was also in this time frame, but I didn't like that as much. My number two, I got Lamb of God with Sacrament, because I guess I give that album a 10.5, I guess, because I have that ranked higher. And my number one is Helloween, Keeper, The Legacy, which is, I guess, the Keeper of the Seven Keys Part Three, I guess. But I love that album. Sorry, it's power metal. Sorry, Jenny, don't unfriend me.
I won't fight you. It's okay.
Okay, let's see. Shell, let's you go first with your top 10 of those 4 years.
All right. So I think you cheated. These are in. I did cheat because Jenny cheated, so I cheated. So I have got one band in here that's out of the time frame, but she said it had to be done. So I'm like, well, I have to do it too.
I'm not sorry.
But, yeah. But it did help me a lot because I had two more to go, and she sent me her list. I'm like, oh, boom, now I've got my 10. So, yeah. This is in no order whatsoever. And also, I did chuck a few albums in there that, pop punk, because back in that era I was going through a massive pop punk phase as well, and I love my punk rock as well. So here we go. So I'll start at number one, which is Nocturnal by Black Dahlia Murder, obviously one of my favorite bands. So, and Nocturnal is by far my favorite album from the band. Number two is Chuck by Sum 41. I feel like it was their heaviest album. Obviously not as heavy as metal, but, you know, I just think the guitarist is great. Brown Sound, he really chunked it up on this album. Number three, Ashes of the Wake by Lamb of God. Number four, Sacrament, Lamb of God. Number five is Watch Out by Alexis on Fire. I still to this day cannot stop listening to that album. He's an amazing singer. Number six, End of Heartache by Killswitch Engage. Not my favorite Killswitch Engage album, but was sticking with the era. So, but it's definitely up there as one of my favorites. Number seven is Price of Existence by All Shall Perish. Timeless album again. Number eight, Absolution by Muse. That's my little out of the window album. Sorry, but it's just phenomenal album. They're a great band. There's a reason why they're one of the biggest rock bands in the world. Number nine, Ascendancy by Trivium. Again, thank you, Jenny, for that one. An absolutely banging album. And number 10 is Wolves in Wolves Clothing by NoFX, because I'm a huge NoFX fan, so.
Okay. Well, I haven't heard of half those groups probably, but that's okay.
Oh, that was a good
I've
list.
I've heard of some Sum 41. Is that one of them? No. What'd you say?
Yeah.
I've heard the name. I just probably never listened to it.
Okay. Well, there's some Canadian lore there. Avril Lavigne used to be with the lead singer from Sum 41.
Yes,
she did.
Okay, Jenny, let's hear your top 10.
Okay, so as a disclaimer, I did not include Black Dahlia Murder on here for some reasons, mostly because I can't listen to them anymore for probably obvious reasons. Hold on, my dog's about to bark.
It's okay, dogs can bark.
Okay, she's about to just like throw a fit. So yeah, I didn't include them, but as I said before, Trevor was hugely influential on my taste in music, in metal, wanting to be a performer, all the above. Like, he just as a human was very definitive for me, which is probably embarrassing to admit as somebody who also loved him romantically, but I don't care. He was amazing. So I did not include Black Dahlia Murder, but probably because I could make a whole top 10, like, you know, whatever. Anyway, so my top 10 in no particular order, but these albums were just hugely influential again on what I wanted to learn on guitar, what I wanted to do vocally, and just this is, you know, peeling my face back with how awesome it is. So the first one I listed was Slipknot Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses, because I'm a new metal girly and I love me some Slipknot. I'm sorry. Even though Corey Taylor kind of seems like a tool, I don't care. The music's good. the second one I have listed was End of Heartache by Killswitch. Again, with Shell, I don't know if now 20 years later it would be my top out of the Killswitch albums, but we're sticking with the time frame again. My dog is losing it. Can you not? Hold on.
It's okay if dogs bark, but...
I'm surprised my cats haven't meowed yet. Oh, so cute.
The dog's the sweetest. Camera, in case people don't...
Sorry, she's her name is Kaiju and she's the best. Okay, so
Kaiju. We had End of Heartache. That's so cute.
Number three, I had Birthing the Giants by Cancer Bats. I actually forgot how much I loved Cancer Bats when I was young, because I always considered myself a hardcore kid, like coming into my own in the metal scene, and then as an adult I was like, what the hell hardcore did I listen to? It was Cancer Bats. Some other stuff too, but number four, okay, From Under the Corn Tree by Fallout Boy.
Nice.
She's a Midwest metal, or a Midwest emo slut. What can I say? I still love emo music. I went to Sad Summer Fest in New York this year. I went to an emo festival this summer. I don't care. That Pete Wentz is a prolific lyricist. Patrick Stump's vocals are nuts. I think they really went further on the next album for Patrick Stump, but we don't need to talk about that. That album is just so friggin' good. First karaoke song I ever sang was on that album, so that was pretty fun for me. Yeah, it's just a banger. I love Fall Out Boy. I'm not sorry. The next one I had was another one Shell also had, Ascendancy by Trivium. That was another one for me as a budding guitarist. I wanted to learn how to shred through every one of those songs. Was Pull Harder on the Strings of Your Martyr on that one, Shell? Do you remember?
I can't remember
either, but that song, I still love to play that song. It makes me feel like such a badass when I play it. Next was Sacrament, Lamb of God. I mean, how can you not include that in a top 10 from these years? It's phenomenal. It's flawless. You said 10.5, I say 12. Like, yes. You heard me say Walk With Me in Hell is my lifetime walk-up song to the bat. Like, let's go. Number seven, Shell stole it from me for good reason, Absolution by Muse. That was one of the few albums that I could listen to from start to finish, not a skip, not an ADD space out. Like, that was just everything. Matthew Bellamy's voice was like nothing I'd ever heard yet at the time. The bass lines made me want to play bass. In fact, Hysteria was the first song I really learned on bass. It's really fun, by the way. It's not that hard and it's really fun. And that was just, I still listen to Muse all the time. Like, they were really big for me. And I've seen them live a lot. they rip so hard live. It's so much fun. Okay, next, you guys are probably going to make fun of me for this one too. It's Dark Light by Him.
Oh.
Do you guys know his Infernal Majesty or whatever?
I'm in no position to make fun of anyone for anything. This is some pretty obscure things, man. It's all good. Right.
This is my little goth girl. my little goth girl heart melts when I listen to this album. I still love it. Rip Out the Wings of a Butterfly. Like, that opening riff was just everything to me. And it's just dramatic and vampire-y. And I love drama. I can't buy drama, right? That's my favorite. Next was Saturday Night Wrist, Deftones. It's funny because when it came out, I was not that into it. I liked Adrenaline and Around the Fur. Those were my like heavier, kind of more quintessential Deftones for me. As I got older, I ended up really loving Saturday Night Wrist. I still have that in like pretty heavy rotation. And I think it just resonated with me more as I was older because you go through shit and lyrics can resonate with you and other people's drug problems can resonate with you, things like that. So that's kind of where I came with that. Finally, number 10, I guess these were in no order, but we're at Wake the Dead by Comeback Kid. So another little special hardcore piece of my heart. I still have that one in pretty heavy rotation these days too.
Okay, well, that's cool. I thought there wasn't any death metal much in there, was there? I thought some of those bands might have creeped in there, but
yeah, I think with the just my I'm pretty gun shy when it comes to looking for anything that could end up pulling up Black Dahlia Murder these days. So I kind of,
okay,
you know, the death metal from that time, I'm like, okay, like, we'll get it later. But I mean, they were death metal for me then. So, you know, just put them as like an overarching heading on all my music taste.
Okay. Well, that was a great episode. You two did, you definitely knew Lamb of God very well. I didn't have to say anything, so that's good. And I'm glad we didn't do the Deftones because I don't know anything about them. But I would have researched, I guess, but then I would have nothing to say. Anyway, so that was good. Yeah. So I just want to mention something to everybody else. The next podcast is going to be not on an album, but me and two guys are getting together, two of our writers, and we're just going to talk about the genre of thrash metal and about, you know, the starts, and we're going to talk about the big four and we're going to whatever, all that stuff. And there's also going to be a contest connected to that episode, so you have to listen to that episode to find out how you win the contest or how you enter the contest, that is. So hopefully I should have probably mentioned this at the start of this podcast, so hopefully people didn't get bored of me, because they wouldn't get bored of you too, of course, and stop listening. But anyway, I'm going to be posting this on social media and stuff too, and it's probably going to be a heavy metal pit prize package, probably worth $500 or something like that, close to that, anything like that. So just to know, but I'm sorry, if you write for the metal pit, you can't win, so you too can't win. Sorry.
That's okay. And I still want to compete just for
you
fun.
You can't quit just so you can win and then come back either. Anyway. So anyway, I want to thank both of you girls. It was a great podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Blake. It was a pleasure. And it was great to talk to Jenny finally. And yeah, it was awesome.
I know. This was so nice. I'm so excited to be working with you both on the metal pit, doing some reviews and stuff. But Gal, it was so nice to get to hear your dulcet tones. Blake, so nice to meet you. And I'm psyched.
Yeah. Great. And yes, I look forward to seeing some reviews from you. And Shell already has some awesome reviews. And everything's going great with the website. And I guess I'll say goodbye to everybody. So make sure you tune in next week to the Thrash podcast, and you can win a contest if you listen to that whole podcast. Okay, thanks, girls, and thanks everybody for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks, bye.